All right. Good morning, everyone. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. My name is Oliver, and welcome back to a new Discully episode. It is April 11th, 2025, a beautiful Friday morning here today in Vancouver. It's nice and cool, not too sunny, but also not too cloudy. It's an enjoyable time to like maybe go for a little beach walk and feel that breeze. Welcome back to Discully. Before I do get started, I want to acknowledge that CITR is live and broadcasting off of the unceded traditional and ancestral lands of the Musqueam, the Coast Salish, and the Tsleil-Waututh Nations. Very thankful and very lucky to be, on this earth and on this territory, to be, you know, performing my arts and doing what I love and studying here at UBC. Speaking of studying, I'm very much in in a mental space where I am trying to get through these next couple of days. I have three exams. I have this show to do today. I'm conducting interviews. I am just so rambled. I'm all over the place, but we are going to get through it. By this time next week, I should be chilling, finding a job, and starting that kind of time of my summer, because I won't be at UBC studying for a little bit. Actually, I'll be taking one summer course, but I won't be like actually in the grind of it all until September, which seems so far away, but summer goes by fast. You just watch. But yeah, welcome back to a new Discully episode. I'm sorry for the couple minutes that I was a little bit late. We did have a little emergency on my bus this morning. We had to do a little pit stop to get someone into an ambulance. Hopefully they are okay, but truly I don't know what to expect anymore these days on Broadway and my little 99, because you know anything can happen, but I hope they're okay. And so there was a little bit of a tardiness there, but we are here, and I'm here with new music for you guys, a new artist, and also a very exciting interview that I was able to do the other week with a band called Melt, and we'll get into that very, very soon. But first, as always, this is how Discully works. Basically, for those new here and those who haven't joined us today, Discully, basically, we talk about music. We talk about all genres. It's basically the show about music and everything to do with it. For about two-thirds of the show, we do a pretty mainstream artist. We talk about someone who has a pretty well-known platform. We go through one of their specific projects in their discography, whether that be an EP, an album, or something. We usually go through it. We analyze it. We talk about the genres, the vinyl record pressing, their concerts, their tour, whatever they're currently doing. And then we just kind of have fun with it and listen to some of their music. And then we move on to our Discovered Artist of the Week, which is usually someone that I like to bring in, or someone that I've discovered, or someone that's usually Canadian. But today we have an interview with a band called Melt that I was able to do the other week. I interviewed all band members, and it was a super fun interview, and I have it recorded for you guys. They are from New York, so from the US, and they are actually coming to Vancouver tomorrow to play at the Fox Cabaret. They just recently released their debut album, and yeah, we're just kind of going to have fun with it a little bit and see what they have to answer from the couple questions that I gave them, and just talk about their music, because I actually really, really, really like their album. I actually have it a little bit on repeat right now as my study music. It's like chill indie pop, also like a little bit of indie rock, and it's just like so soothing to listen to. Yeah, that kind of music. But without further ado, we should get into the beginning of our show. And today we will be talking about an artist called Rachel Chinuriri. I think that's how you pronounce the last name. I apologize if I'm mispronouncing it, but Rachel Chinuriri, that's C-H-I-N-O-U-R-I-R-I. She is a singer-songwriter, born November 1st, 1998, which makes her 26 years old, from Greater London, England, UK. So she is British. She started her musical career in 2018, and she's currently still in it. Her genres are alternative pop, indie pop, pop rock, indie rock, and Brit pop. Her current label right now is Parlophone, and she mainly is just a vocalist, so just a singer. And she just released, this past year in 2024, she released her debut album, What a Devastating Turn of Events, which actually ended up granting her and giving her, for her talent and project, a couple nominations at the Brit Awards this year, 2025, if not 2024, but pretty sure it was in 2025. She got a couple nominations as Album of the Year, as well as Best New Artist. She unfortunately didn't win them, but I do think that those nominations were very well deserved. And she also released a mini album called 4 Degrees in Winter in 2021. And she just released on April 4th, so this like last Friday, so this past Friday, She released her EP called Little House. So I decided, I was in a bit of a pickle because I was like, should we do What a Devastating Turn of Events or should we do Little House EP? And I decided to do Little House EP just because it's a little bit new. It still very much gives you that vibe of like what type of music Rachel Chinnariri does. And the What a Devastating Turn of Events, that album is really good and is phenomenal. And the music off of it is so catchy. It's like the perfect like little like indie pop rock anthems that you definitely know that you can listen to later. But there is a song off of the EP called Can We Talk About Isaac that I think is the same vibe that encapsulates what we can expect from What a Devastating Turn of Events, which is why I've decided to do Little House today, because the Little House EP actually only has 4 songs, and I think we can get through all 4 songs today. And that, you know, allows us to be able to get through the whole project and kind of really sum up an entire opinion instead of just a couple opinions off of a couple songs from the album. So without further ado, let's get into Little House. It was released April 4, 2025, as I've mentioned. It is under the genres of alternative pop and indie pop, and there are 4 songs off of the EP, but no singles. So she didn't release any singles off of this EP. She just released the EP in its entirety, put it out there, and said, you know what, listen to it, and maybe, I don't know, maybe we can expect a new album, maybe this year, maybe next year. I don't know. I haven't really gotten to know her turnaround time with albums. I know some people take 4 years, some people take 2 years. And then there's also those people like Kali Uchis, who I think hasn't missed a year since releasing an album. It's just been like 2023, 2024, 2025. It's just been boom, 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 boom. So it's really exciting to see how people, you know, also do their turnaround times. But without further ado, less talking of me and more listening of music. We're going to start off with Can We Talk About Isaac by Rachel Chinnariri off of her new EP, Little House.
I should be here. I feel I'm depressed and I look like a mess. I'm in pieces. He had a little black coat, 6'1" and a cute smile. With 2 pounds in his hands, he came over and said, nice to meet you. I don't know nobody, you know, so
Welcome back. Can we talk about Isaac? Can we talk about the song? Can we talk about Isaac by Rachel Chinariri? That is, it's such a fun song. It very much encapsulates what kind of sound is her debut album, What a Devastating Turn of Events. It kind of is that kind of like rock, indie. It kind of has like a Paramore feel to it, but not as aggressive as we usually see Paramore to be. Not saying that aggressiveness is a bad thing in music. I'm just saying that this is definitely more of a kind of like a lighter feel to the alternative rock and indie rock. I absolutely love her voice. Her voice is very catchy. It's very light. It's very fluffy. But it also still has that uniqueness when I can listen to that voice. I'm just like, you know what? That's Rachel. And I can recognize it. So love that song. I think it's talking about, from what I understand, like a love interest named Isaac, if I'm not incorrect. I could be incorrect, but that's how I'm perceiving it. But it also kind of has like a Wallows feel to it a little bit. Kind of with that, like, I don't even know what it is. I think it's like a little bit of a synth in there, like that doo 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 doo, that little part. But yeah, without further ado, let's keep going down the track list. We have a song called 2342. Kind of reminds me of that vibe of Biba Doobie's song 1036. But yeah, this is 2342. You're listening to Rachel Chinariri's new EP, Little House, on Discali here at CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Kinda cool, kinda sweet, kinda nice. Got me thinking stupid conversations, crying, laughing, made my tummy tight. 23, 42, what a night. Dancing in the street with my Travolta fantasy that comes to life. What am I doing? Thinking alright? What are the chances? What the hell am I like? Unusually, unusually polite. If you wanted my attention, gonna lose if I'm prepared to throw the peach and have you catch it so I never have to bruise. What am I doing? Thinking you're right? What are the chances? What the hell am I like? Unusually, unusually polite.
Stories carry personal and collective histories, build bridges of understanding, and shine light on unseen truths. Your story, your voice, your power. CITR and Discorder is excited to announce the release of 5 unique podcasts as a part of its Power and Voice podcast incubation program. Power and Voice is an entry-level educational program created by CITR to surpass traditional barriers to entry into the medium of spoken word radio and podcasting. The result is a series of podcasts demonstrating a wide diversity of work in genre, structure, and content. Tune in every day from April 14th to 18th from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. to hear Power and Voice storytellers share their stories on their own terms and in their own words.
TransCare BC works to enhance the coordination of trans health services across the province and offer expanded health services to support transgender communities. They are doing this by developing gender-affirming client-centered models of service, ensuring access to gender-affirming and supportive healthcare that is equitable and available, and supporting network development to make sure trans and gender-diverse individuals, their families, and healthcare providers have access to information, resources, and support. Check out phsa.ca to learn more about this program and lend your voice to help create an inclusive and supportive system for trans members of our community.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to Scully on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and that was none other than Rachel Chinriri with 2342. Such a fun little song. It definitely has you dancing a little bit. Again, very much I'm getting that Wallows feel, that very much indie pop, indie rock. And I think I would also say this very much resembles who we're going to be talking about later, a band called Melt from New York City. We have a little interview lined up for you guys. It's going to be super, super fun. But Rachel Chinriri is just that up-and-coming artist, guys. Like, she is currently on tour right now. She unfortunately is not coming to Vancouver, which is super sad. She just finished up opening up for Sabrina Carpenter during her European leg. I'm guessing it's probably because she is British and she is from, not from Europe, technically, Brexit, right? But she is within that kind of the European continent, but not the actual European Union. Anyway, but yeah, no, it was really fun to see her open up for Sabrina Carpenter. I feel like she definitely does reach into that demographic a lot of kind of like, I don't want to say the pop girlies, but like she's definitely like leaning in more to it, kind of like that that vibe. And I feel I saw a lot of videos that people were singing her lyrics really, really loud, which I'm like, that's really great for her that she's doing that impact and getting her voice out there and those lyrics out there. I mean, her song is really catchy. And her voice and her melodies, everything she's doing right now is, I can't wait to see her, to where she's going, where she's heading on with this. We are in a bit of a time crunch because I do have stuff to do. So we're going to move on to our next song of Rachel's called Judas. This is a demo. It's not actually, I guess, a full song. It's a little bit on the shorter side, but it's still very much Judas off of her Little House EP. So without further ado, here is Rachel Chinriri with Judas.
Walking home with Judas, how was I supposed to tell? You played it cool, I tried it too, but I was clueless. And boy, you did it well. Pause the line of we can't do this. Dandelion, I think I in the garden.
Welcome back. That was Judas, a little demo by Rachel Tanner's new EP, Little House. I can definitely see what maybe she means by demo. Maybe that was just like an acoustic version of what she later wishes to produce as a little bit more of a like a production with it. I mean, I really like the acoustic of it all. I kind of like the acoustic feel of it. It's not too heavy. It's not too crazy. It's very heartfelt, very raw, very vulnerable. And also I think it might just be me, but like usually when I think of songs named Judas, I call it the Lady Gaga effect, but I just kind of relate it to something that has to be like super, super hardcore, super like, you know, like I thought she was actually going to give us like a very like hard rock kind of situation. But it's like a very like, you know, acoustic, very like, I feel like I'm in her bedroom and she's telling me a story through her guitar, which is obviously a really nice feeling. And I like that she was able to convey that kind of feeling to me as a listener, and it just makes me want to like kind of know more, like what do we expect from this demo? Like, are we going to see something a little bit different? Is this just her singing it acoustically, and it's maybe actually a song that that kind of does dabble into that kind of like raw rock kind of aesthetic that I'm talking about? Or are we just going to keep it, you know, kind of have this contrast, this like juxtaposition between such a heavy connotation on the word, or more of a, you know, light feel to it, like we're seeing right now. But without further ado, we're gonna wrap up Rachel today, her Little House EP, with her last song off of it called Indigo, and then we'll move into Melt, our interview, a couple songs from them, and then wrap up Discali for today. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and this is Indigo.
Kissing me under the indigo, I begged for the morning sun not to rise. Oh, what a beautiful starry night. I learned to love you by letting go. You told me something I didn't know. I swam through the years of bad advice. Thank God I kept dreaming of paradise. You make love feel like by mistake, tender on your own. Don't believe in fate. So how was I to know you'd wait? Why would you wait for me? Now we're April drunk in Paris, January magic. I know it sounds dramatic, but I need you in my life.
You make
All right, welcome back to Discali. That was Rachel Chinariri wrapping up her EP called Little House. I really liked how it was kind of divided into two. We have like the typical like kind of alternative indie rock that we've known from What a Devastating Turn of Events off of her debut album in the first two songs with oh my God, I'm forgetting the name. I know it's 23 something, but oh yeah. Can we talk about Isaac and 2342? And then we have a bit of a slower, kind of more acoustic, a little less heavy on the production with Judas the Demo as well as Indigo. Very, very, very nice to kind of see both worlds of Rachel. But that basically wraps up Rachel for us today. Unfortunately, I was going to talk, usually I talk about vinyls when it comes to our artist of the week. The only thing is that the Little House EP doesn't actually have a vinyl pressing right now. Maybe one day it will. Hopefully it does, because it's a really good little EP, a really nice little project. But without further ado, we are moving on to our Discovered Artist of the Week. And without further ado, once again, I introduce to you guys Melt, the band Melt. Like I said, they are from New York City. Their main genre is kind of like indie soul. The three band members right now are Veronica, Marlo, and Lucas. I had the pleasure to interview them the other week. I have a really nice little interview lined up for you guys. But before we do get into that interview, we're going to play some of their music off of their debut album, If There's a Heaven. And yeah, they've been active since 2017, and they're currently on tour right now. They're coming to Vancouver tomorrow, so make sure to snag those tickets. I'm pretty sure they were almost sold out, so if there are still tickets, make sure to snag them. It is tomorrow at the Fox Cabaret, April 12th, so make sure if you like Melt, if you guys want to have a nice fun time and you like the music that you listen to here today on Discali, check them out. It's like such a good vibe. And they started off their career and kind of like their growth in their band with a song called Sour Candy that they posted on YouTube, and it just blew up. And here we are. Here we are now with their debut album, If There's a Heaven, that they released July 17th, 2024. So just almost a year ago, not really, but just of last year. It is under the genres of indie pop, indie soul, as mentioned, and I think we should just get straight into it so that we can listen to a couple songs. The first song that I want to play for you guys is actually one that I was recommended off of the band members, and it's called Plant the Garden. So here we go. Here we go. You're listening to Discali, and here is Melt with Plant the Garden.
I hold tight. I have a win, so we have a fight. When I'm up, you get low. I wanna dance the night away. You wanna drive us home. I blink an imprint of the ceiling. I want this feeling.
Poison, the war.
Oh my God, vocals. Wow, 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 wow. Plant the Garden, ladies and gentlemen. The band Melt. Ooh, I was literally dancing. Like, my chair was squeaking so much. I was literally dancing in the studio right now. So, so fun. It was a pleasure definitely to listen to that song once again after having the interview with them, and definitely seeing how they recommended Plant the Garden as kind of encapsulating where the band is right now in the form of genre, aesthetic, and even just like band image. But yeah, I feel we're going to listen to one more song really quick before we move on to our interview. And it's called The Idiot, because that was the one that I was recommended like three times. So without further ado, here's The Idiot by the band Melt.
Getting you down, or you're tired of scrolling on your phone, Massey Books is the one-stop shop for you. A 100% Indigenous-owned business that is committed to giving back to local charities, community initiatives, and organizations, Massey Books has a vast selection of rare and unique books, as well as a diverse range of books that are from underrepresented authors. You can shop online at MasseyBooks.com or visit their store on 229 East Georgia Street in Chinatown. They are open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Wednesday to Saturday and 12 to 5 from Sunday to Tuesday. Their friendly staff would love to give you a hand to find your new favorite read.
Tune in every Thursday from 11 p.m. till midnight for Copy and Paste with your host, Tim, a.k.a. Autonomy, the very best in underground dance music.
All right. Without further ado, we have the Melt Band interview that I have for you guys lined up right now. I do want to announce, because I'm not going to see you guys anymore for the rest of the show, we have Dave Radio Presents The Eclectic Lunch today at noon, so definitely stick around for Dave. It was a pleasure to see you guys. I will see you guys next week. And here we have the interview for you guys with Melt. Artist of the week I have brought in today with me, we have Melt Band, we have Lucas and Marlo from Melt. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we're doing well.
Of course. Awesome. Well, I'm so excited to have you guys here. We're going to be doing a little interview of Melt. This is a New York-based band. They're very much in the indie soul, lush, and groovy, danceable beats of music. They are recently touring their most recent album. And I just have a couple questions for you guys on how it's been going and how the experience has been with the newly released album. So basically, take me through your writing process. Where do you find the most inspiration when it comes to making your lyrics and your music? Do you guys like to see kind of the smaller ideas or the bigger picture? And is this mainly like a communal process or something personal that like maybe one person does?
We tend to start from like more detailed arrangements and kind of diving into songs before the larger picture starts to emerge, I think. At least that's the way it was for this past album. We had kind of a variety of different approaches. Some of the songs Ron wrote with some of our other dear friends who are also amazing songwriters. Some of the songs started as kind of just jams that the band was doing and evolved from there. And yeah, some of them were written by solo writers, so it's kind of been a mixed bag, but it all comes together when we play the music together as a band. The arrangement starts to kind of sit correctly, and we can kind of form it from there.
I think it's kind of where the two combine for me, like where the little things in life meet the bigger ideas that I'm thinking about. And sometimes it's personal, sometimes it's communal. There's a lot of beauty in both.
Amazing. Awesome. Yeah, I think when it comes to music writing, I think a lot of artists find a good balance in between both and making sure that everyone, you know, gives their creative ideas, which is super cool. And yeah, Lucas was definitely talking about like the production and that being a communal effort, but starting from small and then kind of making it work and developing it and it, you know, coming to be its full art at the end. Your latest album, If There's a Heaven, came with 11 songs of easy listening indie pop. How has the release of this debut album impacted the way you guys all work as a band? And what's something that people don't realize comes with releasing an album for the first time?
I think it gave us confidence, honestly. I think there were so many unknowns about releasing our first album. I think for those of you who have never released an album, it's almost impossible to name the plethora of things that come along with it. There's the visuals, there's, you know, video content, which is so important in the music industry right now. There's photos, there's the world building that you do with your fans. How are you going to cast a wider net? It's really just thinking about like, what is this album saying and how are we going to market it? And also how do we create an intimate experience for the people who have been with us for a long time. But I think now having done it, like we have so many new experiences under our belt, and I just can't wait to do the next one, because I think we'll inevitably be diving into even deeper water with, you know, like how can we push it, how can we do even more.
Yeah, I mean the whole thing was also took a lot of world building and imagining of what a visual rollout would look like along with the musical rollout. So there were so many things from like the artistic side to just the getting songwriting uploaded to we don't even know where side is how complicated it was. So it was definitely a huge undertaking. And we're an independent band, so it takes a lot, like it really takes a village to get an album into the world, and it was a big lift for us.
Yeah, 100%. I think indie artists obviously do put a lot of work into putting out their music out there, but when it hits, it really sticks with the indie community. And I guess this really does kind of add into this next question that I have concerning the vibe and the production of your new music. What audiences do you wish your music to reach? And do you guys find the music reaching a particular niche community? And are you guys planning on maybe taking it international? Because I know you guys are a little bit local right now in the U.S.
Yeah, we definitely have dreams of going international this year. And I think what we're realizing is maybe you just got to do it, you know? Like, we may, who knows? We don't have anything planned, but I think it would be really fun to explore some new countries. And yeah, it's cool seeing our fan base grow genre-wise. I think we started in a really niche community of like indie soul music. And the benefit of that was that it's a lot of music lovers. We love that type of music. So I feel like our OG fans are just like really engaged and dedicated and awesome. And we really see them as collaborators rather than fans. But it's been fun to, as we've grown up and as our tastes have evolved, it's been fun to kind of break into the indie rock world a bit more, alternative worlds and even pop. And it's been fun to explore that.
Thank you so much, Veronica. You guys just finished your 2024 If There's a Heaven tour, and you are currently on your Plant the Garden tour. Booked and busy, to say the least. Bring me through the musical journey that is touring your debut album around now North America, as well as you guys coming to Canada in April.
Yeah, it's definitely been a journey. We had to really like overhaul a lot of like the sounds we had been using previously. And it takes a lot of work for us to try to get the arrangement that worked in the studio to work live and reinterpret it a little bit in that sense. So it's been a process for us for sure. And I feel like even every show we're still working on it. So we're constantly, I think, evolving our sound live. And like history of our band has been kind of rearranging things slowly over time. So it's been an evolution, I think, for the recorded music as well to come to the live stage.
Yeah. And something that we're really proud of is that we don't use tracks. So like everything you're hearing in the audience is being created by musicians live on stage. I think we're not opposed to it in the future. And as our sound evolves and incorporates more synth sounds and like creative little sounds in the studio, maybe that will become a part of our live show. But one of the cool things about translating this album live is that we had so much more time to hunker down in the studio and really evolve our sounds. And our producer, Sam Evian, has this really lush ecosystem of instruments and sounds that he's created up in his studio. And so it was a challenge for us to decide which sounds were like absolutely essential to recreate live and how we would do them. And if we couldn't recreate them, what could stand in their place? It was a really cool little puzzle that helps us look at the songs in a new way, which is always really fun.
Yeah, I think a lot of, especially as a listener, there's something very exciting of when a band can translate a studio version to a live version, whether that be, you know, like you have a really big beat drop where like, you know, you really feel the drums and then the audience goes crazy. It really does, like that work does not go unseen because it just immediately brings a lot of energy to the audience. And that's what really makes a concert experience so memorable. Which I guess can also move on to my next question. So far with you guys touring, what is your favorite song to perform live? And does this align with the crowd's favorite?
For me, my favorite song is The Idiot. It was kind of like a last minute addition that we finished up while we were at the studio. And something about the arrangement really came together. So that one holds a lot of positive memories during the recording process, So it's really fun to kind of relive that when we play it live. And I always notice a lot of people singing along to that one. So it gets a good reaction.
One that I love playing live is Communion, which is like the ballad that ends our album. And I think it's funny because when we didn't have an album out and when our discography was smaller, a lot of our shows were based around those moments where the audience goes like, woo, and maybe we do something. We have a drum solo, or like we would orchestrate these like crazy musical moments. And something that's been really heartening to see this tour is like, obviously we still have those moments and we love doing little things like that. But it's been cool to like let there be more quiet contemplative moments and see that people are singing along and like connecting to the message. And it doesn't have to be like at 100 all the time. And I think for us, it also is just like really marks growing up a little bit for me and like all the thought that we put into the messaging behind this album. It's cool to be able to trust our fans enough to like take it down a notch and know that we can all still have a meaningful couple minutes as we like play a ballad.
Yeah, one of the funny things is we got some like fan content capture at a show, and I think everyone was asked what song they were most excited to hear, and we were all really surprised by the answers. So it's actually, I don't feel like there's a universal like song that everyone's most excited to hear. The answer is really varied, and it spans our entire discography as a band, which is about 8 years. So it's kind of fun to, if you play an old song, it could be like a niche section of the crowd that gets so excited to hear it. So I think it's cool to, I don't think like our favorites align with the crowds or even with each other. So
I mean, very, very well said. I'm gonna have to listen to The Communion and The Idiot again to kind of really see what you guys, Veronica and Lucas, just said. And hopefully make it to you guys' concert on April 12th. I did want to also ask, when it comes to touring, have you guys ever toured in Canada before? Is this your first time coming to Vancouver?
Yeah, we've been to Canada a few times. We've done Toronto and Montreal, and we did Vancouver 2 years ago, almost 3 years ago, on our 2022 run. Such a cool city. Really, really loved it there. It's definitely a highlight of tour, so I'm really stoked to get back there.
Yeah, 100%. I think the indie music community here is actually, I think, quite prominent from my experience when it comes to going to see indie bands. I find myself sometimes in like the most random of venues when I think it's actually like a house, and then I'm just seeing like a indie rock, indie soul band with like a super cool name. And you just end up really liking their music, which actually also brings me to the question, how did you guys land on the name Melt?
So we started as Toast, and we were very split in the band. Some people didn't want to say we're Toast, which I think is hilarious, but also understand why we moved away from that. And then in an utterly creative, mind-blowing turn of events, we became Big Deli Chain. I don't know how we landed on Big Deli Chain. Thank God we're not Big Deli Chain now. But the night before we released the night before we released Sour Candy on YouTube, me and a former member were just like, we can't be Big Deli Chain. And we started throwing out words that had a vibe, and Melt stuck. And we did a final Hail Mary, 3 a.m., switched the name, and that was that.
Nice. That's really cool. No, I kind of also find the Toast really funny. Like, we're Toast. Has like a cool little ring to it. Well, to wrap up this interview, I do have one question that I usually ask all artists and all bands, and you guys can all give your individual responses. But if you were to give one person who didn't know your music or who the band was, and you had to give them three songs or even one song to introduce them to your style, which ones would they be?
I think for me, first would be Plant the Garden, because it feels like we landed on kind of a new aesthetic that we all felt represented us really, really honestly. And then I'd say The Idiot, and third, probably Sour Candy, for the sort of jamminess that we have and the original sound and how that, how that evolved.
Okay, Lucas, I totally agree. I would start with Plant the Garden because I think it's a very honest representation of like who we are. Like, we're a bunch of friends who are just like, I don't know. When we made this album, we were just frolicking around in upstate New York being little flower children. So Plant the Garden for sure. And then I would say you got to listen to our cover of Harvest Moon, which we recorded live at the Gray Eagle. It's Gray Eagle, right? I'm super. Yeah.
Echo Mountain.
Let me say that again. Echo Mountain. Oh no, Gray Eagle was the venue.
Yeah.
This is why one of the many reasons I need Marlo and Lucas in my life is because I have a horrendous memory for names, like truly exceptionally bad. So they keep me in check. But we released a live cover of Harvest Moon, which we recorded in Asheville on one of our first cross-country tours when our tour got rerouted from a hurricane. We got to spend a couple of days in Asheville, North Carolina. And I think that piece really shows how rocky we can get live. Like, I think something that's a little bit more hidden in our discography that comes out at the live show is just like the raging attitude that happens when we get on stage. So I would do Plant the Garden, Harvest Moon, and then, yeah, maybe The Idiot, just because it has a soft spot in my heart.
Yeah, I mean, I love your take on Plant the Garden and Harvest Moon. I totally agree. And then I would throw in Inside, which is just a more like existential song that I think gives a little more insight into the weirdness that goes on in all of our thoughts.
Amazing. I'm honestly, I'll take a listen to those songs as well and kind of take your insight on it. But yeah, thank you guys so much for coming on the show and giving us a bit of an insight on who you guys are, who Mel is, your recent album, If There's a Heaven. But yeah, that basically wraps up today's interview, guys. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thanks, Oliver. Good luck with exams. You're going to crush it.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us, Oliver. We're so stoked.
Thank you so
for
much for having us.
All right, well, appreciate it and have a good rest of your day.
Okay. You too.
Thank you.
See ya.
Bye. Thanks, Oliver.